This is a day. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
Oh, proud. That just is so exciting. I love this day. And last week we talked about love is in the house. And prayer of faith, I believe, continues on because of love that we have for one another. Love that we have for God and Jesus Christ and our Lord. And so I want to ask today, what do we do with the commandments in the Bible? Not necessarily the 10, the one from Jesus, perhaps. And if we were to ask, some people say, well, I highlight them. I've got them highlighted in yellow, pink, blue, green, whatever. I have it underlined. That's great. Well, the commandments, I make a point to try and remember those. That's great. You remember them at the right time. What about obeying them? Do we obey the commandments Jesus has given us? And I think if we were to take a scale of 1 to 10, most of us would say, hey, here's a 10. I'm like a 7 or 8, maybe 8 or 9 even. I hope none of us would be bold enough to say, I'm a 10. I've reached perfection, Adam. I'd gladly gather a group of people to help you understand that you're not a 10. None of us are a 10. But if we were to rate ourselves, we'd probably say 7 or 8. Maybe 6 or 7. But if we look at where we were last week, I've got a broken pin in my watch and I feel that thing's going to slip off my hand any minute now. And when we think about what we looked at last week, John 13. And he said in verse 34, yeah, go ahead and turn to John 13. We're going to be there and dabble in a few other scriptures today. And we think, hey, I'm a loving person, but God, if you could just help my spouse love more, my children, my parents, my co-workers, my friends, my family, God, if you could just get with them and help them love a little more. I'm pretty good, but they need a little boost. And Jesus said, well, okay, by that statement alone, you need a little boost. And we think, okay, we're doing all right. But John 13, verse 34 says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Well, okay. That's great. I appreciate that. In Leviticus 19, the Lord gave instruction to Moses to give the entire community of Israel. And he said, you must be holy. Like I like to do. Why? Why must I be holy? You must be holy. That's great. Because I, the Lord your God, am holy. He said, share this with everyone in Israel. The entire community. And then he gives us an example in Leviticus 19, verse 18 and 19. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And in verse 19, he says, you must obey all my decrees. Oh, you mean that's not brand new stuff Jesus said in the New Testament? No, way back in Leviticus. Love your neighbor as yourself. So back to John 13, 34. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But he adds that little fine print. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Oh, great. Now we've got a little extra thing in there. My scale was maybe an 8 or 9 in loving people, maybe a 7 and 8. But when he says, just as I have loved you, now that scale goes way down. That becomes Mount Everest in our scale to try and reach. Now, I don't know what you know about Mount Everest, but few people ever get to the top of that thing. Few people will ever attain the type of love Jesus Christ is talking about. And nobody lives on top of Mount Everest. Nobody lives here in this kind of love that Jesus Christ says he has for us. Few will make it. None live there and none stay there. Well, why is that? We have to constantly work at it. Well, why do we keep going back? We've covered this scripture. Yes, and we still fail miserably some days. And maybe not miserably. Maybe we're thinking, Adam, where's the good news? You just told me I fail miserably. I'm saying that Jesus Christ gave us a commandment. And church, do we choose to follow that or not? If we are, he says, love each other as I have loved you. This commandment I've given you. And he gave us the example. We have to constantly work on that. Trust me, you take me and try and climb me up to Mount Everest, I'm not making it. It goes back to that exercise word I used earlier. You're going to see me walk up a couple flights of stairs and see how good I am at talking right after that. And Eric, I just want to tell you, when I was down there checking that, sorry Eric, I ran up 3 flights of stairs. That's us. Lord, when I'm trying to share, Lord, when I'm trying to share love with one another, I can't, Lord, I'm winded. I just don't have it in me. Why? Because you haven't exercised that in a manner Jesus Christ says, exercise it. Jesus loves me. This I know. Why? For the Bible tells me so. I am weak, yet he is strong. At night, you took the baby out. I was going to go play with the baby. We got Caleb back there. And speaking of, I looked out earlier as we were playing. And Corey was preparing food for his infant child, as I'm sure you guys do. And I thought, you know what? That's what the Lord did when we came to the Lord's table. He said, I'm preparing food for you. Just like to sustain our babies. He said, this will sustain you. And I'm preparing it for you. Now, in all honesty, I selfishly thought, man, I wish someone would prepare me a snack real quick and bring it to me. I'm dying. But that's what we do. We think, good grief. We want it to be about the Lord, and suddenly it turns around and it's about us. And it became about me and how hungry I was as I looked out to see parents feeding their children. God, I'm hungry. What are you going to do for me? And that's why we have to constantly work at this. Love is the basis of Jesus Christ and Him coming to earth. Before that, our connection to God was transactional, was it not? Let me bring you a sacrifice and you will hear me, and I take it to someone. But Jesus came and said, man, now you have direct connection to the Father because I came. Oh, by the way, because He loved me enough to send me. And because I loved you enough to lay down my life. No greater love hath man than to lay down his life. So His death on the cross was our life. I now have life because He died. And if we think about it in an unselfish way, we hope when we leave this earth that we have left life behind. And I'm not talking about life I've left children behind. I'm talking about life that we have given and spoken life into people. And through our presence and through our giving of ourselves and our time and our talent and serving one another, that we have given life to one another and to others, thus following His example. Now, Jesus laid down His life, and many times we don't lay down our life intentionally, but it just becomes our time. But Jesus said, I can get off this cross, but I'm not going to. When Jesus came, that connection to God became relational. It's not enough for me to know about my wife and be able to tell you all about her, but have no connection to her. And there's relationships out there. I'm not saying in the church here, but in the church in general and in the world, there's relationships where people coexist together. And there's no intimacy. And I'm talking about just conversation even. Sharing and getting to know someone deeper than just a knowledge level. So that scripture already came back in Leviticus. Jesus came. He said, hey, love each other just as I have loved you. And he gave us the example. So now we struggle to say, okay, Jesus, now you said, I've got to love others as you love me. So I want to look at the type of people that Jesus loved. And the list is a little tough. And my message title today is, who did Jesus love? That's simple. Jesus loved everyone. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He loved everyone. Yeah, but it goes deeper. And the question really today is, do you love everyone? Oof. No, that answer is no, probably, for most of us. No, I don't love the people that have caused harm and hurt to my family. No, I don't love people that cause harm and hurt to the world and to others. But if we look at who Jesus loved, we're still in John 13. Look at verse 27. And Jesus loved the deceitful, the arrogant, and the overbearing. Those of you that missed Wednesday night class, Bible study, we talked about issues facing the church. And I have a whole list. And we talked about arrogance. And it's funny, in the definition of arrogance, it said someone that's overbearing. But for the sake of today's message, we're going to separate deceitful, arrogant, and overbearing. John chapter 13, verse 27. And Jesus said, when Judas had eaten the bread, Satan entered into him. And Jesus told him, hurry and do what you're going to do. But none of the others at the table knew what Jesus knew. We mentioned that last week. Jesus sat there for his last meal, knowing what was coming and facing him. Knowing that one of his followers, one of the 12, was going out to betray him. But he loved him. Now let's think about it. Let's be realistic and put ourselves in Jesus' place. And we're hanging out at the table. And all of a sudden, God puts in my mind, oh my goodness. I'll not pick on any of you. I'll just pick on my family. Spencer is going to betray you, Adam. Really? You know, exactly. We want to set Spencer straight. And Jesus said, you're going to get set straight anyway. But we'd want to fix that problem. And Jesus just said, oh, by the way, Spencer, hurry up and go. Do what you must do. But nobody else understood. But Jesus knew, hey, he's going to get the authorities and turn me in. Now, when we look at arrogance, we have a few more examples. Spencer, I am not going to use you for that one. But Matthew chapter 20. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 20. And we'll be in Matthew and Luke for a couple of these examples. In arrogance, and I'm talking about in Jesus' inner circle here. He faced that. He faced it outside of that circle. But the surprising thing is, within the circle, he faced this. And it's interesting, as we're talking about issues facing the church, that these things are in the church as well. Deceit and arrogance and overbearing. The church in general, maybe in this church. But in Matthew chapter 20, verse 21, let's look at that. Let's just start at verse 20. Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. And I find this interesting in my version. It says she knelt respectfully to ask a favor. Knelt respectfully. And Jesus said, what is your request? And she said, respectfully again, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. And Jesus answered and said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. And Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or on my left. For my Father has prepared those places for the ones that he has chosen. And I think this one just tickles me a little bit, but it says, when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked. They were indignant. And I said Wednesday night in our Bible study, we mentioned this as well. And I said, do you think they were upset because of the nerve of them asking, or they got their mom to ask, we don't know. Hey, mom, go ask Jesus if. Was that why they were upset? Or were they upset because they said, dang it, they beat us to the punch. We were going to ask that, but that was too late. Now they already ask, and we're too late. They were upset. Verse 25, but Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, he's talking to the disciples now, but among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many. He's telling guys, it's not about the level of importance you have. It's about serving other people. And we know that serving other people pulls us out of our comfort zone. It's going to be uncomfortable. By the way, it's going to be inconvenient to serve others at times. I think we were talking in Bible study one time, and when you said, it's easy to love the lovable. Jesus says that too. Dwayne reminds us of it. Hey, it's easy to love the lovable. Oh yeah, it's those other rascals we got to worry about. It's all the unlovable. Those people that think differently than us. Those people that look differently, those people that do harm to our loved ones or even people we don't know. God, I don't know how you want me to love them. He tells us here with the deceitful and with the arrogant, hey, you just don't know what you ask. Now let's flip over a little bit to Matthew chapter 26. And we'll find a little bit more from within his group. Matthew chapter 26, verse 33. And they're at the Last Supper again, and we read a little bit of this out of John last week. And Peter says, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. Let's see here. Arrogance, Peter, they line up together. Lord, the rest of them, they are not as strong as I am, and they will abandon you. They will leave you, but not me. I'm stronger than all of them. And Jesus replied and said, I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Three times you'll deny that you even know me. You know, we talked about serving others, and that's an arrogance of just saying, they're all weaker than I am, Lord. And we talked about serving others and the inconvenience factor. And a couple of weeks ago, Judy had given a little testimony about going to see her friend. She said, I was on my way home, and I didn't want to go do that. But the Lord told me to stop by. It's inconvenient sometimes. At times we think that we are stronger than others. And Jesus reminded Peter, said, no, you're not, Peter. As a matter of fact, here's what you're going to do. You're going to deny knowing me not once and not twice, but three times. It wasn't like, oh, I made a mistake. I thought they were talking about the guy next to him with the long beard and hair and robe and whatever. And by the way, the story goes that the other disciples disappeared as well when they came and laid hands on Jesus in the garden. His other disciples split. And Peter, the one who said, no, they'll all desert you,
Not me.
And Jesus said, yeah, you're not only going to desert me, but you're going to fail to acknowledge me three times. And now let's turn over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And he says in verse 24, and it's the same thing. It says, actually we'll start in verse 21. It says, but here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me. And he's talking again about the deceitful one, Judas. And he says in verse 22, for it has been determined that the Son of Man must die. But what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him? And then the disciples started asking, is he talking about me? You? Who's he talking about here? Which one of them would ever do such a thing? Verse 24, then they began to argue among themselves about who would be greatest among them. Again, they're sitting at the Lord's table. They're down here. And Jesus says, this is the Last Supper. He's saying to himself, he knows. They don't understand it. They don't know it. But they're sitting there with the Master, the one they acknowledge as Lord. And their concern, and it wasn't just a concern, but it was bigger than that, because it says, then they began to what? Argue. Then they began to debate. They began to talk about, no. Then they began to argue among themselves who would be the greatest among them. Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over the people. What we read earlier, just a different version. Yet they're called friends of the people. But among you it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank. And the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? And he says, the one who sits at the table, of course, is more important. But listen to this. Right behind it says, but not here. Not in the world that I've created. Not here. For I am among you as one who serves. He said, out there in the world, when you belong to the world, yeah, the one who's sitting at the table is the greatest. And the servant is the least. Church, I'm telling you. Young people, I'm telling you, it's not so here. When we live for Christ, it isn't that way. We elevate others among us. We add value to them. We give honor to them. Began to argue at the Lord's table. Which one of us is the greatest? Jesus, can we sit at your feet? Or one on the left, one on the right? Jesus, they will desert you, but not me. Judas, go do what you got to do. And then we'll look at one more example in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, where we started. We'll look at a little bit of overbearing. And it's Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. And again, he gave the example. And he's already told us, hey, it's not the one at the table. It's the person serving that is greatest. You see, it's different in my world. And my fear is that we come and we may underline, we may take notes. But the love that Jesus had calls us to action. It doesn't call us to repeat what his word says. We can repeat it all day long, but if we're not living it, big whoop. That's my interpretation. Big whoop. We can quote the Bible all day long, but if we're not living it, and it's a challenge. Again, we have to constantly be working on it because there's so many things, issues, people in our lives that pull us away from that. And they want us to be of the world and in the world. You don't have to worry about your language here. You don't have to worry about what you do. Nobody from your church is going in there with us. Jesus hung out with prostitutes. There's nothing wrong with going in this establishment. Maybe you can save someone while you're in there. Ha ha. But Jesus said, love me as I have loved you. Here's the example. So in John chapter 13, verse 6, Jesus is the same thing at the Lord's table, the Last Supper. And he gets a basin. And he takes off all of his outer garments. And he's there with a towel wrapped around him, ready to wash the feet of the disciples. And it says, when Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? As though Jesus needed some help or correction. Jesus, you don't need to do that. And Jesus said, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested, you will never, ever wash my feet. And Jesus said, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. And then Simon Peter exclaimed and said, then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord. Not just my feet, but all of me. And Jesus said, a person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray them. And that's what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. We already read when he sent Judas off to do what he had to do. Who did Jesus love? He loved the deceitful, the arrogant, and the overbearing. Now, it's real easy to say, well, he loved the lost, and he loved the sinners, and he loved the hungry. He loved the blind, and he loved those that had healing needs. Okay, those are possibly a little easier to have compassion on. Oh, my Lord, they're blind. Let me heal them. Oh, they're hungry. By the way, come to me. You will no longer thirst or hunger. When Jesus landed the boat, he had compassion on them and said, oh my gosh, they are like sheep without a shepherd. And began teaching. And he prayed over some. But this group here, the deceitful, the arrogant, and the overbearing were in his face. But it's easy, we could say that's the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all those people that always seem to be, how can we stop him? How can we get him? But these examples were within his own group. Within his own group of 12 disciples, these examples came from. As the band comes up for our final song, I want to ask a couple questions. Today, do you fit in any of these categories? The deceitful, the arrogant, and the overbearing. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But let me ask this. Do you fit in the category that says, I find it difficult to love the deceitful, the arrogant, and the overbearing? And Jesus said, hey, I've loved them. And by the way, I told you to love your fellow man as I have loved you. Let's stand as we sing today and think, how can I love people this week? And where do I fit into that? I may not have climbed Mount Everest. And I may not have attained it, and I know I can't live there, but can I get closer to it on that scale?